This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. You know, Rick believes the Lord is using this global pandemic to call us to a deeper love for God and our fellow man. That's why he's bringing us the fourth installment of his series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, taken from the book of James. In a little while, we're going to tell you about how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's DVD study kit called Daring Faith. This powerful tool will inspire you to new heights in your walk of faith with God. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called A Faith That Knows the End of the Story.
Now, third thing you ought to do, since you know the end of the story, is this. This is a big one. Use trouble to become spiritually strong. Yep. That's the third thing James says you do to prepare for Jesus' second coming. While you're still here, while we're still waiting, use trouble, use problems, use stress, use difficulties to become spiritually strong. James chapter 1, 3 and 4, he says this, you know that troubles test your faith and develop endurance. So let your endurance grow, for when it's fully developed, you'll be strong in character and you'll be ready for anything. That's what you should be doing. That's what I should be doing in the time between now and when Christ comes back. Use the problems in my life to grow spiritually, to develop endurance, to become more and more like Christ in character. Now, Paul says the same thing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23. Listen to this in the Message version. May God, who makes everything holy and whole. Did you see that? God makes everything holy and whole. Make you holy and whole. Put together. Okay? Are you whole or are you fragmented? Are you all chopped up or are you have wholeness in your life? Make you put together. Are you put together or you falling apart? May he make you whole, holy and whole, put together in your spirit, in your soul, in your body, and keep you fit. Are you physically fit? Are you spiritually fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ? He says, you know what? You need to focus on your physical fitness. No. He says, you need to focus on your spiritual fitness. Are you healthy? Are you growing stronger? Use these problems. If you're out of work, if you're facing COVID-19, if you're feeling prejudiced against, he says, use every problem in your life to grow spiritually stronger, more spiritually fit, whole and holy, put together. You're not falling apart. He said, that's what you need to be working on. Don't work on making a ton of money. He said, you're not taking that with you anyway. Number four, a fourth thing James tells us to do, since we know the end of the story, is this. Practice loving everyone. Practice loving everyone. Now, we looked at this verse earlier, but James comes back to it. James chapter 2, verse 8, he says, you'll always be doing the right thing if you obey the most important law in scriptures. And it is the law that commands us to love everybody else as much as we love ourselves. Now, friends, this one is especially important in our world today, because our world's becoming more and more hateful. It's becoming less loving, less patient. It's becoming more biased, more bitter, more partisan, more polemical. This means you can't, if you're gonna do what God tells you to do before he comes back, learn to love everybody, means you can't demonize people, you can't stigmatize people, you can't stereotype people, you can't dehumanize people. All those people you disagree with, he says, you got to love them. The Bible says the exact same thing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. It says, this is how you get ready for the end of the story. It says this, may the Lord make your love grow more and more. More and more, and multiply. God wants your love to God wants you to become a famous lover, that you love more and more and multiply for each other and for all people. See that? He says, may God make you love more and more each other and all people. Who's not included in all people? Nobody. So that you will love others as much as we love you. May your hearts be made strong, so that you will be made holy and without fault before God our Father, when our Lord Jesus comes back with all who belong to him. He's coming back. So what do? We do these things. We do the first four things I've just mentioned. And this last one is learn to become a great lover, loving everybody. So that's what you do, even in a crisis and even in a chaos. Number five. Now, the fifth thing James tells us to do, since we know the end of the story, is this. This is a big one. Invest in the bank of heaven. Invest in the bank of heaven. You say there's a bank in heaven? Oh, yeah, there's a bank in heaven. Five times in this short five-chapter book, James emphasizes the generosity of God for us. He says, everything you've got is because of God's generosity. You'd have nothing if it weren't for God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. It's all because of God's generosity. And then he points out that not only is everything in our life, including life itself, a gift to God. He said, if God wasn't generous, we'd have nothing. We would not even exist. Then James says, a couple times in the book, he makes the case that God's generosity should make us generous with other people. He said, you've been given to, you should help others. You know, one day a very wealthy man came to Jesus, and he asked Jesus for the best advice on how to prepare for eternity in heaven. How can I have eternal life? He said, what can I do? And he said, how do I prepare for eternity in heaven? And Jesus gave this man some investment advice. He gave investment to this guy. And this guy had far more than he needed or could even enjoy. He was a rich young ruler. He was a wealthy man. He couldn't even enjoy all that he had. And Jesus said this, why don't you liquidate some of your assets here on earth and send them on ahead to heaven and start earning interest for you there in heaven? You say, where is that in the Bible? Well, actually, Jesus said it five different times, this phrase, store up treasure in heaven. But in Luke 12, verses 33, Jesus says this, sell what you have and give it to those in need. You don't need everything you've got. Is there something you could sell and help others? He said, sell what you have and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. By getting your treasure in heaven, Jesus says, it will be safe for eternity. No thief can steal it. No moth can destroy it. So my question to you would be, in light of where's the end of the story, do you really need everything you've got? Jesus is suggesting that maybe you might be able to sell some of it to help people who have a whole lot less. And he says, you know, every time you do that, you're storing up treasure in heaven. Now, this phrase, store up treasure in heaven, is used by Jesus five times. He quotes it five times. Anytime Jesus says anything five times, he's saying, you better remember this one. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. How do you do that? Well, James says, and Jesus says, and Paul says, you do it by giving what you got to help people less fortunate than you. Look at this verse on the screen right now. Proverbs 19:17 says this, when you give to the poor, you're lending to the Lord. When you give to the poor, you're lending to the Lord, and he will repay and reward you for what you've done. One of the translations I read on that verse says, God will give you it back, pay you back with interest. He pays pretty good interest too. Now, James gives some very specific examples of how to store up treasure in heaven or how to invest in the bank of heaven. He gives very good examples. In chapter 1, he talks about taking care of widows. And then he talks about taking care of orphans. Those are the two most vulnerable groups in society. Chapter 2, he talks about giving food and clothing to the poor. We're doing that right now through our food distribution. And we've fed 250,000 people. Saddleback Church, as your church, has fed over 250,000 people in the last 25 weeks through food distribution. Chapter 5, he says, if you're a business owner, make sure you pay your employees a living wage. He said, take care of people who are having a tough time out there making a living. James says that. But Paul says the same thing in 1 Timothy 6, verse 18 and 19. Here's what he says. Tell people to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works. Okay? They should be rich in good works, and they should give happily to those in need, always ready to share with others whatever God has given them. By doing this, listen, this same thing Jesus said, they're storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven. It's the only safe investment for eternity, and they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. Now, most of you know Kay and my testimony on this. For 45 years of marriage, we have been having fun giving away as much as we can before Jesus comes back. We started tithing 10% when we got married, and at the end of the first year, we raised it to 11%. In the second year of marriage, we raised it to 12%. And the next year, we raised it 3%. And every year of our marriage, we've raised our giving to be more generous than the year before. Every time I give, I become like Christ. God so loved the world that he gave. Every time I give, I break the grip of materialism in my life. And we've been given more and more every year. Some years when finances were tight, we just raise it 0.25%. Other years when we'd have a big, I get a raise or write a book or something, we'd raise it 3-4%. Most of you know that now for almost 20 years, Kay and I have been reverse tithers. We give away 91% of our income, we live on 9%. That has been more fun. I've been playing this game with God for 45 years. He says, you give to me and I'll give to you and we'll see who wins. Most of you know I don't take a salary from Saddleback Church. I've served this church for free for 40 years. Why? Because as I give to God, God blesses me in other ways. And so I would love it that on the day that Jesus comes back, that in our giving account, the day he comes back, there's only $1 left in that account. some people, they want to save all their money because they're afraid God's not going to take care of them. And so they save up the big savings account and then they wait. And then they've made a will that says, when I die, you're to give away all my assets. Okay, that's one way to do it. Here's what I say. I say, do your giving while you're living, then you'll be knowing where it's going. I'm not going to wait till I die to give away everything God's given me. I want to give it away now because there's the joy of giving. It is more blessed and there's more happiness in giving than receiving. So, the fifth thing James says is invest in the bank of heaven. Finally, the sixth thing James tells us to do, since we know the end of the story, we know how it's going to end, is this. Use the gifts that God gave me to reach others. Use the gifts God gave me to reach others. When God thought you up, he created you with a number of different gifts, useful gifts. Talents, abilities, skills. There's certain ways that you think. There are certain things that you do. You're just naturally good at it. Now, God did not give you those gifts or what we call your shape for your benefit. It's not for your benefit. Your gifts aren't for your benefit. Your gifts are for the benefit of everybody else. And their gifts are for your benefit. I have certain gifts. They're not for my benefit. They're for yours. One of my gifts is teaching. I'm not benefiting from it right now. You are. And your gifts are to benefit me and everybody else. Now, you probably know what you're already really good at. Why do you think you're good at it? And how should you use that gift or talent in the time left before Jesus comes back? Well, you should use it to reach others for Jesus. You should use it to be an ambassador of love in the world. In fact, if you don't use those unusual gifts that you've been given, and you're not using them the way God intended, then you're really just wasting them. Because God didn't give you gifts just to use for yourself. James says it like this in James 4:17. Anybody who knows the good he ought to be doing, and you know what you're good at, and you know what you ought to be doing, anybody who knows the good he ought to be doing, but doesn't do it, sins. So let me ask you a very personal question. Knowing what you're good at, and knowing that many people in the world probably need your help, what are you doing about it? Who are you serving? Who are you helping between now and when Jesus comes back? Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 1:4-7. He says, I can never stop thanking God for the generous gifts he's given you now that you belong to Jesus Christ. Now, you have every spiritual gift you need. He said, now you've got every gift that you need personally right now as you eagerly wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? He says, while you're waiting for this, the beginning to happen, God expects you to use those gifts to serve him by serving others. Now, let me sum up everything I've been saying in this message. You're not going to live right today until you understand your future. And the more you understand that Jesus is coming back, the more motivated you're going to be to do these six things that James tells us to do. You're going to spend eternity with God if you've let him save you. Now, if you haven't let him save you, we need to do that right now. We need to let him save you right now. You know, I'm often asked, Rick, why do you think Jesus hadn't come back yet? Okay, why do you think he's taken so long? Well, that's not a hard question to answer. It's an easy answer. In fact, Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:15, he says, remember, the reason the Lord is waiting is so that people have time to be saved. People have time to be saved. The Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He says God's not being lazy. He's not being, you know, just delaying the coming back for no reason at all. He's waiting for people to be saved. If you've never been saved, you need to do that today. You need to become a part of God's family. Now, let me remind you again. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, but there are a bunch of the signs that are given by Peter and Paul and Jesus that we can see clearly in our time. But we don't know these are the last days. We do know they're the later days, and we do know that the Bible says he'll come back in a time when you think not. You know, it's not going to happen today. Well, that's when it's going to happen. Okay, so he says, in the time you think not, but he does say this three times, and Jesus said it, be ready, be ready, be ready. Are you ready? How do you get ready? Well, first you open your life to Christ, and then you start doing these six things we just looked at. So let me lead you in a prayer right now. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we're all going through a tough time right now. We don't know that these are the last days, but we do know they're later, and your time is getting closer and closer. Help us to practice these six things. Help us to work on them in our lives this week to be ready that you could come back at any moment, that even in the darkest days, that you shine bright. Help us to use our gifts to reach others for you when people are so hungry for solutions, for answers, for comfort, for strength, for guidance, for purpose, for meaning. If you've never invited Jesus Christ in your life, say, Jesus Christ, I want to open my life to you right now. I want to get to know you. I want to develop a friendship with you before you come back. Say, I humbly ask you to come into my life. I want to learn to love you and trust you. I want to know God's purpose for my life, and I want to spend the rest of my life fulfilling it. I admit that I need you, that I've sinned, and I need your forgiveness, but I'm asking you today to be my Savior. In your name I pray. Amen.
If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again, to find out more about this ministry, and to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Now, if you'd like to step out of an ordinary existence and into a life of extraordinary faith, then you're going to want to order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Rick to tell you more.
How'd you like to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to make the changes you've always wanted to see in your life, your work, your family, and in the world? That's not a dream. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to learn to live by daring faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, to help you develop that kind of faith, I put together a Daring Faith Study Kit, and it includes a DVD, and it includes a workbook. Now, there's 6 sessions in the Daring Faith Study Kit, and it'll teach you these 6 things: how to build a life of faith, how to expect the best from God, how to stretch your imagination in order to see what God wants to do in your life, to expand your vision, how to have the courage to take the initiative with your faith, how to face your fears with bold faith, and how to believe and what to do while you're waiting on God. You cannot afford to miss this series. It was one of the most important series I've ever done at Saddleback Church. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness and courage and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to have that boldness, that courage, and that confidence when you come to God in prayer. I want you to come to Him without fear and come to Him in freedom. God will use this Daring Faith Study Kit just like He used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life if you'll trust Him in all things. So get this kit today and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the Daring Faith Study Kit, a 6-session DVD and workbook, as our way of saying thanks. Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.